We'll feature different people to try to answer some of these questions and teach sessions and do it in a way where, you know, it's hard to travel for these things. The cool value about getting to come to a conference like this is the fellowship, right? I can tell you, for me, I love getting to hear what you guys are doing, right? It enriches me. It helps me. And that's a lot harder to do online, but we can do a lot of teaching sessions and things like that. So if you want to check out Next Level Kidman, that'll be there. But also, I'll make sure to post all of my slides on there as well to make it available to you guys. So that'll be there. I think Brother Booker is going to do the same as well. He'll make sure to post that onto Apostolic Sunday School. Those of you that don't know about it, it's awesome. Apostolic Sunday School is absolutely great. So with that, let's get started. Let's pray. God, thank you, Lord, for this time we have together. Lord God, I pray that you inspire a lot of these teams to have a VBS and to do it well, to really have revival with these kids through VBS. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. How many of you guys have ever done a VBS before? Raise your hands. How many of you guys have never done a VBS before? Okay, ooh, we're going to have some fun. Okay, we're going to have some fun. So, at First Church in San Jose, we have done VBS. I think we're going on year 8 now. So it's changed a lot. We've learned a lot over the last 8-ish years of doing VBS. So my hope in this session is that I save you a lot of time, right? That there's things that we have learned. And so as a preview, what I want you to be able to walk away from this session with is an understanding of how you can organize, fun things you can do, and also how you can better fund your VBS without necessarily have to get all of it from your congregation, right? And if you do, how you can do that more effectively as well. So, areas to consider. There's kind of the background stuff for VBS, right? So if you've done a VBS before, you'll know that there's just like some great things. There's some decent curriculum out there. We use group. It's not apostolic. So we basically come up with our own lessons. But we like the structure, right? So here's what I like about the structure. I'll tell you that I like the way that the kids are organized, and I like that there are kind of rotational stations that adds a lot of variety to it and also a lot of capacity to it, right? But before anything starts, these are some things to think about before the event itself actually starts. You're going to want to have decorations. As you can see, there's like slime dripping down and there's signs and all other kind of crazy things like that. If you want to do donations, my recommendation to you is start at least 2 to 3 months in advance. This last round, we did it about 2 months, maybe a month and a half in advance, and we got some really awesome donations. So I'm going to talk to you about how we got those donations, what we got, and some ideas on where you can go. I want to give you specific examples and how we did it, right? And snacks, food. Think about what you're going to serve throughout the week, right? Here's my advice to you. The more of this stuff you plan out, this is what I find. And I don't know if you have found this or you will find this, but when you ask people for money, whether in the community or in the church, it's a harder ask. When you ask for specific stuff, people will bring it, right? Like, so how well planned are you? That's my challenge to you. When we're like, we need 3 foam boards. We need 100 Dixie cups. We need right? And it shows up, you know? People are like, yeah, I'll take that. We actually do it in a way where, like one year we did high seas. So it was like a sailing / pirate theme and everything, and everybody dressed up for it. Before the event ever started, we had this little like Playmobil pirate ship, and off it was hanging like anchors, like paper anchor tags that had donation things written on it. And people would go and like just like pull off there and take it. It's like, okay, yeah, I'll get some brushes. I'll get some of this. I'll get some of that. And it worked really, really well, right? So even if you're getting stuff from the church, that's just a way that can actually make people feel really good. You know, they like knowing specificity. But that actually plays out for the community too. So we're going to talk about that in a bit when we go into donations, because I feel like that's an important component. A lot of times when I talk to people about starting VBSs, they're really, really worried about the cost, right? So I want to take that fear away from you. Snacks and food. Here's the thing. Depending on when you do it, that might change what you serve. You know, we do ours at night. Here's why. Some people do their programs in the day. I find it really hard to get volunteers during the day, myself included, right? You know, like, it's just hard. You're asking people to take multiple days off, right? Or everybody's just really tired for a week, but it is like the awesomest week of your life, right? So what we do is we basically do Wednesday night, 6 to 8:30. Thursday, 6 to 8:30. Friday, 6 to 8:30. And then Saturday is just a really long day. We start at 10 o'clock and go all the way till 3, right? And we have I'll go over rotational stations in a bit, but we have like a very specific set of things that the kids are due going from station to station the first 3 days. And the last day is really a kids' church, right? So we do the kids' church, and then we do this like water extravaganza thing. We just hunkered down and saved, and over time we got this giant Shamu slide that actually goes into a pool. Unfortunately, we couldn't use it this year because of the drought. But, you know, like, it's like stuff like that, right? Like, what's something to make it like a big celebration and everything that the kids get there and have a lot of fun and then gear up for Sunday, which is the big performance. So, recap. Things to consider before any kid ever steps foot on campus. Decorations. How are you going to make it fun? How are you going to make it exciting looking for the kids? Get them into the atmosphere. How can you think about donations so you can really defray the costs? It was incredible. We actually had more money, not less. We weren't in a deficit. It was incredible. Snacks. Food. What are you going to serve? Where are you going to serve it? How are you going to serve it? How many people do you need to serve it? Think about some of that stuff. Keep it light. Right? Like, don't try to kill yourself that first year. You know, some people are like, I'm going to serve spaghetti every single night. You know, these babies shouldn't starve. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You know, goldfish. More importantly, get like, okay, I'll throw out some snack ideas for you guys, right? A couple big buckets of ice cream, a couple like really cheap, like dollar store root beer, like 3-liter containers. Who doesn't like root beer floats? Right? Those kids are happy as can be. They're going to go home and tell their friends. Here's what we find. The first night when you knock their socks off, they go home and tell their friends. The second night is even bigger than the first night, right? And then by the third night, we're like, if you don't sign up, we'll take walk-ins until the third night and then we stop, you know? But we'll kind of do that. And that's the thing, right? Like, so the snacks, keep it lightweight enough for your team to do it and really emphasize fun, right? Like, you know, pudding, stuff like that. Like, okay, I'll throw this out here. It's just like a random thing. Like, you know, you take pudding. I actually did this as an object lesson. So bonus, I'm going to tell you about an object lesson I used before, right? I did this as a snack once, but also in a way where you take pudding, take vanilla pudding, right? And how many of you guys know that yellow plus blue equals green, right? So what we can do is we can actually make slime, edible slime, out of vanilla pudding and blue food coloring, right? And so I was trying to teach about how, you know, people in the world are like, man, Christians are so hateful, right? Like, I don't understand why they can't accept, like, all this other stuff and things like that. And it's like, no. Right? So I gave him an example, and I made all this green pudding, and I dumped it on my head. It's just like, and I even went, and I'm like, you know, like, and I'm like eating it and stuff like that, and they're like, oh my gosh, right? And they're like freaking out, and it's like on my shirt and everything. And I was like, let me ask you something. How many of you guys like going to Chuck E. Cheese? And they're like, I love Chuck E. Cheese, right? Stuff like that. I'm like, what do you think if we tried to walk in here, and I tried to go into Chuck E. Cheese, would they let me in? Like, no. I'm like, if I wanted to come over your house and eat, and I tried to come into your house, you think your mom would let me into your house? No. Why? because you got green slime on your head. I'm like, exactly, exactly, right? And like, it was just like, you know what? We want to go to heaven, and we're going to go into God's house, and we think we can go any way we want to go. It's his house, right? If we want to go to somebody's house, we are respectful, and we clean up, and we go in. So you got to get clean to go up, right? And then we talked about washing and being baptized and getting the Holy Ghost and stuff like that. But that's a great way to tie it in after. And then you got that green pudding snack that they can eat, right? You know, you can tie all that stuff in. All right, so everything can be a lesson. Whether it's a game, like that awesome session that, man, I was so jealous. We're like sitting there trying to do this and I'm like, wah! I'm like, oh, I wish I was in there. So if we get to catch the video, I definitely want to see the type of fun you guys were having in there. But everything, games, snacks, all of it can come together. All of it can come to you. Every bit of it can teach the kids. But if you don't have the creative energies to figure out how to make everything a lesson, then at least make it fun, right? The minimum, at least make it fun. But if you can make it fun and a lesson, oh man, you have won, right? So those are the things that I would say think about before a kid ever steps foot. We're talking 3 months before your event, maybe even longer than that if you really want to plan ahead. Think all this type of stuff through. I can actually, I'll post on the site, Next Level Kidmin, an example of what my schedule looks like. So I can show you guys like how I organize my teams and you can kind of get examples of how we do it. You know, and ask whatever questions you want when you take a look at that stuff. But transportation, that's the other thing. If you don't have a bus ministry yet, then you're going to have to think about how you get these kids here, that type of stuff, or their parents dropping them off, et cetera, right? Once you got that stuff thought through, here's the thing that I would say. VBS is an incredible Trojan horse for getting people into children's ministry. Seriously, right? There's a lot of people that ended up becoming Sunday school teachers later. It's like, wow, I actually like working with kids. I didn't know that, you know? It doesn't sound intimidating when you're like, yeah, come decorate with us. You wouldn't mind helping us paint, huh? We got a lot of stuff to paint. Would you mind coming? And people will show up, right? So think of this also as an opportunity to really bring the whole church together, right? So keep that in mind. Now let's talk about the foreground, right? Now we're talking about like all the things that are like happening with the kids. Some of this stuff, the reason I'm pointing this stuff out is because those teams that I mentioned previously, the kids almost never see them. They don't see the people in the kitchen necessarily, right? These are all the foreground stuff. So I tell you this because you're going to need to staff these teams with people who are very comfortable with being in the foreground, right? So it's also a staffing thing where you can think about, you know, some people, why am I telling you this? Why does that matter? I sound like I'm being nitpicky, but I'm not. Because you want to figure out the maximum way for your church to be involved in a way that is most comfortable for them. And there are some people that are intimidated because they're scared to be in front of kids. But that doesn't mean they don't love kids, right? So this is an opportunity to give them a venue that they can work without having to feel that intimidation. It's a blessing, right? And it's like I've kind of mentioned, alluded to before, these type of events become their own brand. 8 years ago, we started with like 15 people like running something like this and not even remotely as close to as many kids. Now, we have like 80 plus people that help with this stuff, right? And no, it's not like we run a 1,000-person church, okay? It's just because we have extremely high participation and we figured out how to really plug in a ton of people into it because we've tried to think this way. Who else? Who else can we kind of tap on the shoulder? Hey, would you be interested in helping out? You know, like maybe you can help out here, you know, and you're gauging, you're being a talent scout, right? You know, you're looking around your congregation. I literally do this. I will sit in my sound booth and I will look down and I'll just like write down notes. I'm like, ooh, I bet this person would be great in the kitchen. You know, oh, well, what about this person? Stuff like that. And you just get them involved. It's like a little bite-sized opportunity. It's just 1 week of their life for them to try it out. And they might find that they get the bug, right? It's like, wow, I never knew that I would love children's ministry this much. Right? So hopefully this is some recruitment ideas for you too. You want this to be an easy way, right? Where they're kind of dating children's ministry, you know? Like it's like, well, just try it out, you know? Little luncheon, right? You know, well, I really enjoyed the conversation. Maybe let's take this further, pray about it, right? Right? So, you know, like that type of thing. You got to make it kind of easy, right? So So let's talk about front side people. These got to be people that are comfortable with being in front of kids, boisterous, you know, comfortable with talking to them, interacting. These are the games people, right? If you have curriculum that gives you game ideas, awesome. If you don't, thou hast Google, what hindereth thee, right? You know, like seriously, thou hast Pinterest, what hindereth thee, right? There's so many things now, no excuses. Thou hast Brother Caleb's lessons, what hindereth thee, right? There's so many resources now. Get great games and get people that are practicing these games well in advance. The biggest mistake I see in children's ministry, okay, there's a lot of biggest mistakes. I shouldn't use a phrase like that. A mistake I see in children's ministry is people like, they're like, okay, I read the material, this is going to be great. And they just try it out, right? Like, try out this stuff. Try out this stuff well in advance. Test it out, and you might find what you need to fine tune. All of this stuff needs to go perfect, right? Because, like I said, you nail it night number one, it'll grow. Like, kids will go home and be like, I had the craziest time. This was so awesome. And you seriously, it's like, oh, wow. They just brought another three kids with them. This is awesome, right? From this one street. And then there's another street. Like that. Lessons. This is a tough one to staff for, right? So think carefully about this. But again, you got Google. What hindereth thee, right? We use the group curriculum. We kind of use some of their lessons, and we have to apostolicize them, right? And that's why I actually put in the kids' church component on Saturday, because it was just lessons. And it's like, well, where's the altar call? I got like this many kids, and I'm not going to give them a chance to pray? Ha! Yeah, you crazy, right? Like, it's like, no, no, no. We will find a way to allow that opportunity. Right? So we did. Kids' church, it works really great on Saturday, gives us some breathing room. In my opinion, it was hard for us to figure out how to do it on a weeknight. That's why we did what we did. Crafts and activities. Let me tell you guys about this. Okay, let me see if I kind of point it out. Okay, yeah, here we go. So I'm going to come back to this. I want to talk to you guys about crafts and activities because I think there's some opportunity here. Again, it is an awesome recruiting opportunity and an opportunity to really crank up the fun for the kids. So we're going to talk about that in a second. Muzak. I don't really think there's a ton to talk about there. You know, like there's different music, group puts together some cool stuff, motions, everything. Again, we had a session on the signing and all that other stuff. Kids love the motions. And something that touches my heart is even like a month after VBS is over, we'll be like going to knock doors and you'll just be hearing like on somebody's boombox just like bumping that like VBS music, you know? And it's like, yes, this is awesome. They're playing it in the neighborhoods, right? This is something that VBS allows. This last one, I want to spend a little time on later, which is crew leaders. Okay, this is the backbone of your VBS. I'm going to explain that, but let's go first to donations. Okay, so donations. How many of you guys have ever tried to get donations from companies? Cool. How many of you guys have never tried to get donations from companies? Okay. You know, I want to give you specific examples of what we've done, how we did it, because before we did it, it felt intimidating to me. It really did, right? And now that we've done it, like, man, why didn't I do this before, right? Like, you know, like we were jipping ourselves. And it's an even better pull when you can be able to offer these things, right? Like, families, again, will tell other families when it's like, oh, every kid that comes gets like a Chick-fil-A gift card up to the first 200 kids. Like, hurry up, sign your kids up, right? That's awesome, right? Like, it's like, what are things that you can do to be able to offer, to be able to really get people inviting for you, right? So we found that what we did was we crafted a letter. I can, again, post on the site an example of our letter, and you can take it and use it as you will. Right, but put together a letter that explains what you're offering, right? Where it's at, blah, 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 like, you know, just any of that type of stuff about the program and who it impacts, and then have an ask, right? We did that. We went to a lot of different places. The places where we actually had success, like Safeway gave us multiple $100 gift cards. That was awesome. They basically paid for all of our food for the kids all week. All of it paid for. And we still actually had an extra set of gift cards left over. That's huge. So like I said, we were actually in the black. We weren't even in the red. We were in the black on this event, right? And we ended up going to Chick-fil-A. You know, we pitched it to them. We had the letter and everything and, you know, went through the whole process. That was a little more work. But they ended up giving us like a big box of Chick-fil-A gift cards. Totally worth it. Worth the work, right? Similar process. What are you going to have to do? You're going to have to get a team together. Whoever is in charge, whether you work with the church administrator, you know, your pastor, whoever, craft the letter. That's the hardest part, right? You got questions. Happy to work with you on it to brainstorm some ideas. You get past that, then it's just the footwork. Look for local companies, right? Local companies might have a lot more sympathy. But they're like, yeah, you know, like we want to support our community. This is really cool. If you have pictures of prior events, whether they're for that event or not, you're just talking about what your children's ministry does and what you're trying to do. Paint the vision, explain it, and that it's going to affect the community in this way. And they see the pictures. We literally showed pictures of previous VBSs and stuff, and that's how we got our donations, right? So local stores. Here's an interesting thing. We, every Sunday morning, our kids eat muffins, bear claws, right? Cookies, all from Panera Bread. How much do we pay for it? Zero. $0. I can't imagine over the last handful of years how much money we would have had to spend to be able to pull that off. They have different companies research. They have corporate policies. They have to do a certain percentage of donation, right? So this is stuff that we're just not doing yet, right? We can take advantage of these things to provide for these kids, right? And the more we're doing, the easier it actually gets, right? Like, because the more you can show, the photos say so much. And you just see these smiling kids, and it just gets you more donations. It's kind of like what I was saying about bus ministry. Your first five kids are the hardest ones to get. And then after that, it gets easier, actually, right? Same thing. That first roll of getting some donations and showing the fruit of it, happy people and all this other stuff, you know, you capture that in pictures once, then you can start to get more donations. So Safeway, Panera Bread, Chick-fil-A, all done in this manner, right? So the letter is the hardest part, and then the footwork. Time is the final ingredient here. Give yourself at least 2 months, maybe three, right? So you can be able to have time for the letters, get the letters out there, get it mobilized, build a team of at least maybe one, two, three, or more that are all out handing stuff out, right? And then following up. It's going to be the follow-up and the diligence that gets those dollars, right? So hopefully that was helpful. Hopefully that opened up some minds, you know, because it doesn't have to be a backbreaker. It's true. Kidmin isn't always cheap, right? But it doesn't always have to be as expensive as you think. Decorations. Here's my thought on decorations. I'm going to quickly go through this here. You know, with decorations, what's neat is, like I said, it's a great opportunity for people to get involved and do it in a very light way. Here's a problem I have found. Sometimes people come under the impression that the better thing is to offer volunteers a lot of options, right? There are 10 different times that you can volunteer to help us decorate. I advise against that. Give them two options. This night or this night. Pick your night, right? And do it early because if you find you have poor showings, then you can do it again and pick only another two nights, right? Because the problem is, if you give too many options, people will be like, oh, I don't know. And they don't show up to any of them, right? Seriously. Or you have a trickle. There's something about the excitement when you get more people, right? It's like instead you have five people decorating together and it's fun. Everybody's chatting and coloring together and all that other type of stuff, right? Instead of, oh, we had 10 separate times and one person showed up on each of those times, right? And it's just a different level of excitement. So it all kind of flows into each other. I'm going to tell you that cardboard is absolute magic, All right? If you, there are different places, go to box companies or other places like that, they're going to throw some of this stuff away, right? You can go and they will actually give you cardboard, and it can be just as good as foam board. I know, like, you know, a lot of people love the foam board. Well, you can easily cut the cardboard. It works pretty good, right? So that is my suggestion. I know foam board is good, but it's, I forgot how much per sheet it is. And cardboard, you can actually probably get for free. There's this thing called Great Stuff. How many of you guys have ever heard of Great Stuff before? Yeah? None of you ever heard of Great Stuff? It is exactly as the name says. It is truly great stuff, okay? Like, look for it in Home Depot. It is incredible. You can use it as a glue. You can use it like, you know when we did the, like, it looked like acid bubbles that were coming down the side? That's literally, you spray the great stuff and it just, like, foams and then hardens, right? And then you can color it and stuff like that. Really, really versatile. There's a lot of things you can do with great stuff. And then finally, the foam boards, okay? The cool thing about foam boards is you buy it for 1 year, you can kind of just keep cutting it and cutting it and cutting it for about another 2 to 3 years, actually. So it's an investment that can actually last you a while. We did that for a while. The harder thing is more like finding space in a church, right? It's always like everybody and their mother wants to keep something at the church, and you're just running out of space. And so how is this possible? And where did this come from? So that's the harder thing, like, you know, VBS decoration sprawl. But otherwise, I would say foam boards are actually a good investment. You can use them for a few years, especially the big panels that are just the main background. You're literally just repainting those things, right? Things to think about. Lessons. Go big. Go big. Okay, so you heard about dramatizations. Sister Tasha Shoemake was Mary one of the years when we did Hometown Nazareth. And it's so funny. Kids were still calling her Mary for months. And like, it's like, she's just like, ah, you know, like she didn't want to cry. My name's actually Tasha, but, you know. But like these kids, like she is Mary to them, right? And we did this thing where we made her a little house out of foam, and we like, you know, draped like some sackcloth in front of it. And she'd literally like, she'd come out and she'd be like sweeping and telling the story to them about like Jesus growing up and all that type of stuff. And, you know, like make it real, make it fun, like make that environment something really, really memorable. And if you can, do crazy object lessons, like me almost lighting myself on fire there, and that guy literally, like, dodging for his life. He was kind of scared. That was the first time he saw us do that experiment. But those are the type of things. We have so many resources in our hands now, right? There's no reason not to have absolutely stellar object lessons. So the lessons matter. Every portion of it, really say to yourself, how do I do this so spectacularly that kids would invite other kids just because of this, right? That these games are just so crazy that tomorrow, they're like, hey, I brought this other kid so we can play this game together, right? All of the things, have every team think in that manner. It's always, success is when it's so good that they invite. That is success. Crafts. Okay. This one was kind of fun, right? So, year one, my format was this. I had literally just gotten married, and I wasn't running VBS yet, but I was given pipe cleaners, a lot of pipe cleaners, and I'd just gotten back from my honeymoon, and like 3 days later, we were doing VBS, and you know, we kind of had like a lesson sheet, but it was just like, you got pipe cleaners, go. And we just had like a room full of kids, and we were just like making stuff, right? So I was like, let's do it different next year. So then we were more organized, and we had crafts, and we had all these like things where it's like, okay, you're going to make these lanterns, and you're going to do all this other stuff. Here's my thing about like making that type of stuff. You know what happens at the end of VBS? You have a giant bucket full of stuff. Kids don't take their crafts home. They don't, right? I don't know. Like most of the time, they don't. What we've tried to do now is we try to go to more activity-based stuff, right? So like over the last couple years, one time we did this thing. So I'm going to give you two quick ideas here. One was we did this thing, I call them dim sum cards, right? How many of you guys have ever been to a Chinese dim sum before? Yeah? How many of you have never been to a Chinese dim sum before? Oh, I am so sorry for you. I am so sorry for you. Get yourself a dim sum. It's good stuff. All right, so like, you know, you go to a dim sum, And they have these cards, right? They have these cards, and you know, you're like, I want that thing over there. I want the pork buns. And they'll like come over, and they're like, and they like stamp it, and you're like, okay, I want that like whatever noodle thing over there, and they stamp it, right? So what we did was we set up a market, right? So we had these booths, and we set up a market where kids could dig in the dirt for like little gems or you know things like that, because it was supposed to be like the Old Testament times, right? Kind of like New Testament type era. And, you know, kids could like be like shearing sheep and other stuff like that. And they're doing these type of things in these different booths. And they had these dim sum cards, and it was the cutest thing, right? These kids would walk around and they'd be like, oh, I haven't gone to the sheep shearing yet. You know, and they'd like want to get it filled out. Choice is so fun, right? So I challenge you, don't let your craft just be something where it's like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're all going to do it. You might want to figure out some ways to be able to give them an opportunity to actually have some choice, right? That's one. The other was, you know, we just skipped the dim sum card, and we just had like this crazy lab. Last year, we just had a spot where it's like, you want to do the physics experiment again? Go ahead. You want to do the lava lamp experiment again? Go ahead. You want to do 3D bubbles again? Go ahead. It's just like this big open sprawl where it's just like a thing where they can experiment, right? So I challenge you, think differently about crafts, because the kind of standard way people have thought about crafts is, we're all going to sit together. I'm going to show you how this is done. Watch me glue. Now you glue. Did you glue? You glued, right? Don't do that, right? Like, it's like, do something where it's interactive and crazy and other stuff like that, right? So, that's what I would say about that. The other thing I would say is, you know, teens can definitely work in these stations. It's really awesome. You can, there's so many people that you can plug in. You can also plug in people who don't want to be mobile, right? There are a lot of people who are retired, and they're like, I can't do the games. I just can't run around. But they can totally sit at the 3D bubble station and love it, right? And the kids are having fun, and they can teach Bible lessons about it or other things like that. Really neat. Okay, crew leaders. I'm going to wrap up. Crew leaders, here's what's interesting about crew leaders. Crew leaders allow you to do two things. One, be extremely scalable, right? So whether you're dealing with 10 kids or you're dealing with 100 kids or you're dealing with 150 kids, same dynamic, just more crew leaders, right? Every crew is composed of two adults that watch 10 kids. That means every leader is basically watching five kids, but they're doing it together, right? So that also will kind of give you a guide on your capacity of VBS you can actually handle. The hardest thing for us to find is more crew leaders. Now, at this point, we literally have over 40 crew leaders every year that we get, right, to facilitate everything. So, you know, that gives you an idea, right? We have 200-plus capacity, and we just kind of, like, over stuff, where it's like, okay, crews can actually handle more like 12, right? That type of thing. It gives you an idea how to plan and structure, because the thing you want to do is you want to make sure that no kid walks off campus feeling like just a number, right? Somebody spoke to them, make sure they were guided, walked around, had fun, were talked to, and all of that type of stuff. They're the backbone of an awesome experience. They connect with the kids. They find out what's going on. They ensure a good time. They keep, they guide, they direct. One final thing that they do that's really important, they build a bond with the kids so that come Saturday morning when it's time for kids' church, they've built that relationship where they can have that nudge and be like, hey, you know what? You want to go pray? Let's go pray up there. Somebody's spent 3 days building a relationship where they can make that type of call. So, you know, I want you to come pray. Come on, let's go up and pray together, right? So it's a way to really ensure that you have that kind of tight relationship happening. So I'm going to wrap up with outreach. So basically, you know, with outreach, figure out what ages your VBS is going to be. Ours is age 5 up to 11. And we may have 12-year-olds if they really, really want to be a part of it, right? Some places, I don't know if I personally know of any of them, but I know the curriculum allows it. You can do like a 2 through 5-year-olds VBS. Too much work for us right now, but you know, maybe we'll do it in the future, right? But what does this tell you? If you've got your records tight, you can literally just pull up who are all the 5 through 11-year-olds that have come to Sunday school any time in the last year. And then just go, go, go. Get as many people to go and follow up. Just flyer about VBS, flyer about VBS, right? It's a really easy way to get organized. Here's what I find. There are kids that will not come on Sunday morning that will come to VBS. That's the only time in the year that they show up. That's the only time in the year that they show up. But you know what? We'll take it. We'll take it, right? Because for some reason they play soccer on Sundays. But they're going to come to VBS, and we're going to get to put something in their hearts for at least 4 days, right? The kids that do come, here's the VBS math. I find that for every kid that comes, you can almost multiply that number times three come Sunday when it comes to the actual amount of people that are going to be in the sanctuary, because they're going to bring family and other stuff like that. Like, it's pretty incredible, right? So those are some things to consider. If you've never done a VBS before, there's some things to think about. Just get into it. Start to think about it. It's really not as intimidating as you might think. And it might not cost as much as you might think. Start small. Just get going. Show the success. And you're going to find in successive years, more and more people are going to want to join in, right? So with that, final piece is make it spiritual, right? The payoff that the whole church wants to know and see is that there is spiritual payoff. And that's where the whole church can get involved. That's something where we say, you know what, even if you're not involved in anything else, come to the kids' church so you can pray for some of these kids. Because you may not want to work and all the nitty-gritty stuff, but you might want to pray in the altars with these kids, right? And it's important. It's important. And we see a lot of kids pray through in VBS. So that's it. That's it. Hopefully that was helpful. Happy to answer some questions. Does anybody have any questions right now about VBS? Any immediate questions? Yes. Yes, yes. I'll make sure to post all this stuff on the website. Absolutely. Anything else? Anybody else submit? Yes. Yeah, so we get our material from group VBS, and we modify it. You know, but overall, structurally, I like how they do things. Word of Flame does have their Power Hour curriculum that you can convert to be for that type of stuff, too. What is next in here? Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, cool. Yeah, I was waiting for somebody to, like, shepherd's crook me. So I was like, is everybody going to kick me out now? I'm going to keep talking. But, all right. Okay, I'll take one more question. And then, yes. Good question. Okay, so let me just, okay, I'll answer this one quickly, okay? So days 1 through 3, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they're going from station to station. They show up on campus, they get with their crew leaders, then we send them to these stations. There's a rotation, I'll put on the site, you can see how we rotate the kids. So we make it so that we can facilitate, like it's like every station can handle about 60 kids. We can handle 240 kids here. Awesome, right? That's how we can do our math and figure that type of stuff out. Whether we get 240 kids that year or not, we know our bounds, right? That's the type of stuff that you always want to think about and be like, okay, now we know, right? Instead of going backwards, because I've done it the other way. It's really rough. Okay, I'm going to just tell you a quick train wreck story. 1 year, I did not plan that way. And I planned under capacity, and then I had one group of two ladies handling 10, 11-year-olds. That was the worst week of their life, okay? 10, 11-year-old boys, they were like a street gang. You know, like, I was scared, right? So I thought to myself, like, now we kind of spread out the ages, and the older kids actually help in taking care of the younger kids, right? So, like, kind of stuff like that, nuancey stuff, right? But yeah, so they rotate stations. One set of 60 are over at the lessons, while another is at activities, while another is at games, while another is at snack. Rotate, 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 right? 5 minutes for every team to reset, and then you get everybody all the way through, and then you do the singing practice, where everybody comes together and learns the songs for the end of the week. Do that for 3 days. Then you come to Saturday, you start the day off with kids' church, altar call, get all the way to the end, do snack, do practice. They practice for Sunday morning, final practice. Everybody is on the platform and everything looks great. Practice. And then you go have that big water play thing I was telling you about, or any other type of fun thing that you might want to do, right? Maybe it's a barbecue day, whatever you want to do. And then Sunday, like Saturday when they're leaving, they're bringing home these little invites to invite all their family to Sunday morning. Then they do a big presentation where they're singing all these songs about God, right? And all their family's there. And we just very lightly offer at the end, hey, you know what? This is a time when any family wants some prayer for their families. If you want to have some prayer for your family right now, and you want us to pray for your family, come on down, right? A lot of people do it, right? It's not like we're not like strong-arming people or anything like that. There are a lot of people that can't deny that. They're like, it's true. I would not mind some prayer for my family. And we'll see these people, like, they're all tattooed up and everything. Like, they might just be, like, brand new stepdads and everything. And they're just, like, bawling, crying, right? You know, it's like, it's just opportunity. All you're trying to offer is opportunity, right? Opportunity for these kids, opportunity for their families. But it is a powerful outreach tool. It is really, really a powerful outreach tool. So, great question. Great question. Okay. So with that, I'm going to stop on this session. Next session is what every Sunday school teacher should know. And then also there's presenting lessons with Brother Tyler Hodge in the other room. So if you guys want to swap, I didn't know if everybody from his session stayed there. Maybe somebody can check. But otherwise, either do that or take a break or whatever. And we'll start up in another few minutes.